Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. April is Earth Month, and if there's one thing I've learned, it's that quality is sustainability. Think about it. When you invest in well-made, durable products, you're not just buying something that lasts longer, but you're reducing the need for constant replacements. That's why I am happy to tell you about the Avocado Green Mattress. When it comes to mattresses, Avocado is the MVP. Top rated by Consumer Reports, 8 years running. They use certified organic materials like latex, wool, and cotton. No nasty chemicals, just pure comfort that keeps you at the perfect temperature all night long. Here's the game-changing play. Right now, you can save up to 10% on these incredible mattresses at avocadomattress.com. Plus, they give you up to a full year to try it out, and they even have easy financing options with Affirm. That's how confident they are you will love it. Head to avocadomattress.com today and save up to 10% on certified organic mattresses. Dream of better.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
This is the ZABEcast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Feeling kind of mean. Late Wednesday, early Thursday edition of the ZABEcast. Welcome home, everybody. Well, that's to me, welcome home. I'm back from Naples. Half-week vacation. I think very underrated, in part because, well, we ran out of money in Naples. We can only afford half a week, even with some free golf hookups. Half a week and we're back. No, just kidding on that. It was actually just the right amount of vacation. And boy, oh boy, when you're way down there in South Florida, you get really detached from just how fucking cold and miserable it's still is in the Rust Belt, the upper Midwest, and even parts of the East Coast. So not bad when we got back to the D.C. area, but going to be rainy the next couple of days. Perfect weather to be indoors watching a tradition unlike any other, the Masters. So a lot to talk about today. This evening, I'll get my final Masters thoughts off before the tournament launches. Again, I recommend everybody make sure to download the Capital Golf Gang or subscribe to it wherever you get your podcast, because that's going to have post-round recaps of me, Ronis, and Ghoul immediately following play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. That's the Capital Golf Gang. And I think you'll enjoy the podcast once a week once we're through the Masters into the meat of the regular golf season. So I get my final Masters thoughts. I've got a special call in to my boy Fred Minnick to talk about this awful flooding that has not just caused incredible damage and devastation and lives lost, but also it's fucked up several distilleries of the excellent brown that we all love. And maybe not all of us, but at least I do, and many on this podcast do as well. I want to get Fred's take on that. And he was at a sporting event recently that had a once-in-a-lifetime upset that left the sport in utter shock and awe. And maybe you know what that is, but if not, you'll have to stick around for Fred. Let's start with the NBA. The NBA is not a serious league. It's an association. I know. But the NBA is not a serious league. Is it entertaining? Oh, hell yeah. And it's getting juicy right now as we come down to the final few games. Somebody put out a great graphic which said, okay, here's where every one of these teams in each conference could finish, you know, in eight lines for the top eight seeds, and well, actually 10, including the play-in games. And they just had the logos of the teams. And in the West, the top two seeds are set. Everything else is fluid. Everything else could end up with at least six teams shuffled all about. So the final couple games of the regular season now are going to be very interesting. So it's an entertaining league. This is the time of year that I get into it, and I watch it, and I follow it. I don't do that in December. God, no. Not during football season. And I really just kind of leave it on the back burner January and February. But now that we're coming, now that we're into April, oh, I'm going to be in. I like the NBA. It's entertaining as hell. It is also profitable. It is also popular. It is also very popular with the younger generations. Millennials and Gen Zs eat the NBA up. They love it. It's global. It has many things going for it. However, it is not a serious league. The other night proved it on two fronts, starting with the Nuggets, with three games left in the year, firing both their coach and their GM. Mike Malone, Calvin Booth, guess what? We know you're not getting along. We can't sort out who's right and who's wrong. So guess what? You're both gone. Now, maybe this will be the right move. Maybe this is something that Jokic said, we can't have this anymore. Nikola Jokic has had the most statistically mind-melting April so far, and they have no wins to show for it, or one win, I think I saw the stat. Maybe he agitated for this. I don't know. I loved Mike Malone, and by the way, I don't want to speak of him in the past. He will resurface elsewhere. Hell, he is now the fourth coach in the NBA in the last however many years, 6 years, I believe. Fourth coach now in the last 6 years to get fired 2 years or less after they won a championship. I've heard of players' leagues. Oh, it's a players' league, Zabe. Yeah. This is taking it to the extreme. Malone is a good coach, really good coach. And I love how fucking honest he is. After that All-Star game a couple years ago in which he was the coach of the West, he goes, first of all, I want to apologize. That was a mess. That was some of the worst basketball I've ever seen. And a lot of people are like, wow, you're saying this about the league showcase event? What? Of course, it's only gotten worse since then. More on that in a second. But Malone is good. He'll get rehired somewhere else. But four coaches have now been gassed within 2 years of having won the title. I believe it started with Nick Nurse in Toronto, Budenholzer, Malone now, and who was the other guy that got it? Either way, it's just not a good look. It's not what a serious league does. And I get it that if you feel like you don't know who is right and who's wrong, that maybe it's better to just to turn the page. And maybe they did this because they don't want the Nuggets getting hot. And then it would prevent them from making the changes they need to anyway. There's no way they'll be better without their head coach, their established head coach, this year in the playoffs. And that cuts against the premise that every fan wants to believe in, that every owner wants to win and is trying actively to win right now. And then they'll deal with the overall direction of the franchise, the roster, and everything else later. Clearly, that's not how many NBA owners operate. In fact, probably most, if not all of them, because this is not a winning move. Again, it's just not a serious league. Also, oh yeah, Taylor Jenkins. Well, he didn't win a title, but Taylor Jenkins got whacked in Memphis. So you have guys getting clipped, doing a good job, who will get hired by somebody else as quickly as they want to get another job in the NBA, and it just makes zero sense. The other thing the other night that made me say, the NBA, you're drunk. Go home, NBA. You are not a serious league. Luka Doncic was ejected in the game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Big showdown, Lakers-Thunder. Lakers took him to the woodshed, I believe, the previous night or two nights earlier in L.A. This was the return trip in OKC. And, of course, tensions are high. Luka hits a bucket at like 107, 104, and then starts jawing at a fan who's jawing at him. And one of these, hey, it's all about me, look at the ref show, thought that Luka was jawing at him. And so, bam, technical foul, second tee, kicked out of the game. And no reviewing it. Where's your replay, all you replay heads? Absurd ejection. This is where the NBA and Adam Silver need to say, hey, look, we're not in the business of kicking guys out on technicalities when there's a big game that the fans have paid a lot of money to see and nobody's harming anybody else. An on-court technical where you trip somebody or push somebody or throw a ball at somebody's head, that's one thing. But not this. This ain't it, as the kids would say. So bye-bye, Luka. OKC rallies to the big win. Again, not a serious league. Of course, it was not a serious league during the bubble and post Jacob Blake and the Black Lives Matter era when they said, hey, why don't we let our players wear slogans on the back of their jerseys? Because, you know, they feel frustrated. They want to speak out. And I was like, oh, yes, the good old names replaced with slogans on the jerseys era of the NBA. I found a link on ESPN's racially oriented andscape.com. That's their decision. I'm not labeling them anything other than what they are. Andscape had a list of every player and what they wore instead of their name. And not everybody did. Some people just chose to have their regular jersey, but many players wore these slogan jerseys. And I had no idea just how many of them there were. First of all, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 12 foreign language jerseys to represent equality or justice or something else. Mes Laigas, Lithuanian for equality. Se si puede. Respectes Bizo in French for Sergabaka. Respect us. Anak Provost in Slovenian. Equality. Luka wore that one. In German, Maxi Kleber wore Gleichberechtigung, which means equality. I think I said that right. Gleichberechtigung, equality. In Latvian, Kristaps Porzingis had Vien Leziba. In Italian, Niccolo Melli had Juguaglianza. Steven Adams in Maori had Kia Kaha, which stood for Stay Strong. Lou Dort, the Dorture Chamber, had in Haitian, respecte nous, respect us. Kevin Hervey had shalom. That's all he had, shalom, on his jersey. But the number of things, I couldn't believe it. Okay, here. Liberation, liberté, freedom, equality, peace or equality, égalité, stand up, speak up, hear us, listen to us, respect us, love us, peace, how many more, say her name, say their names, I can't breathe, justice, justice now, power to the people, anti-racist, education reform. How's that going? Group economics. Andre Iguodala wore a group economics jersey. Vote, enough, and my favorite, I am a man. I am a man. Is that a Ron Burgundy jersey? Again, not a serious league. They don't wear those anymore, but they felt like the right thing at the time. You know, our guys are upset about this stuff. Come on. Let's wear these special jerseys and we'll paint things on the floor. They can't get an all-star game right now because nobody tries, like, at all. And so they're trying all these different formats. And this year's was as jacked up and as stupid as they come. It's not a serious league.
Ja Morant has been warned and fined for doing machine gun or handgun celebrations. This after he served a suspension for showing off handguns in Instagram Live videos, a very bad look for their league, especially given the fact that he purportedly brandished a handgun against some kid in the neighborhood who he was playing one-on-one against. Ja Morant was told, look, we're not having this. We're not doing the finger guns after threes. We have corporate sponsors that would know they're not gonna like this. So what did Ja Morant do? He moved on to grenade celebrations. Yes, he's pulling air pins and lobbing grenades. Well, nobody said he couldn't do grenades. Who knows how many Call of Duty weapons he may go through? Shoulder-mounted missile celebrations. Perhaps some landmine celebrations. Perhaps some, I don't know what else there could be, bayonet celebrations.
The league has been on a real kick to add female announcers for teams and their broadcasts, both television and radio. And these are hardworking women who I'm sure are loving being able to do the NBA. But the question has to be asked, why? We know that women don't have the pipes of men. They can't punch up a call like Kevin Harlan or Ian Eagle or any number of announcers that have the real or Mike Breen. So none of them sound good in a play-by-play role. Everybody loves Doris Burke, and she does a fine enough job, but I ask the question of, like, why? Why do we need this? You know, the NFL has not done this yet. Maybe they will at some point, maybe not. Because the NBA is a more serious league, not the NBA. Or the NFL is a more serious league. The NBA is just not. I was listening on vacation to the Miami Heat radio broadcast because it was on the local Fox Sports affiliate down there. And I hear a woman doing the color commentary. And I'm like, okay, who do we got here? So I had to look her up, and I don't really want to mention her name because I'm sure she puts her full effort into it. But again, I go, why? You want a man to do play-by-play because they're better, because they have the pipes to do it, and you want an ex-NBA player doing color. And you could say, well, I've heard a lot of ex-NBA players that suck. I agree, but get a better one. Audition more ex-NBA players. That's who you want doing color on radio and television. If you want it to be the best, if you want to be a serious league. Anyway, she's a former Miami Hurricane women's player who had done some broadcast roles in Toronto and elsewhere. And I'm like, okay, I mean, fine, but what? Why? Anyway, it's a league that I do enjoy. It's going to get very juicy. The playoffs could be very interesting. Should be very interesting. It'll be a nice ride through the spring all the way to June, mid-June, late June maybe, and then we're done. Then we get off the roller coaster ride that is sports. We exit to the left, and we're out of breath with our friends. Oh, my God, that was so fun. Okay, all right, let's go get a Slurpee. Let's go do a Slurpee and then see what we're going to do next. We'll take a couple months off, and then I'll see you for football. And then we'll get on the old roller coaster again. But it's not a serious league. Some thoughts on the Masters. A lot of people giving their Masters picks because, well, why not, right? And if you're going to bet the Masters, do bet it at mybookie.com. Promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. This to unlock all the bonuses and other promotions going on. But, yeah, betting the Masters is fun. I've got some guys that I am and some guys that I wouldn't touch. And I'll tell you who they are in just a second. But remember this, it's like marble racing. You know that, right? Form coming into the Masters has nothing to do with it many times. Past finishes has nothing to do with it many times. If a guy is due or really focused or came close, oftentimes has nothing to do with it. It's marble racing. And if you don't know that that exists on the internet, then you need to go Google it. It's just so dumb. There's a pool of about 20 guys who have a good to pretty good shot at winning. And of course, there's your smaller handful of favorites you can pick up in one hand and hold and look at. And then there's lurkers. Then there's wild cards. Then there's Mike Weirs 1 year, or Trevor Immelman, or Charles Schwartzel, or Danny Willett, or Ian Woosnam. If you're hot, you're hot. And you make some putts, you just never know. But that said, here are my thoughts on who I like, who I don't like, and you can take it and run with it however you want. Three plays, I got three popular fades and three long shots. My plays are Scotty, Xander, and Spieth. Scotty is a duh, same thing for Xander. Xander is just a relentless technician, a boring, zero personality technician. But yeah, my duh plays are Scotty and Xander. And then my third is Spieth. Yes, Jordan Spieth. The Mr. Toad's wild ride of the PGA Tour. He's got it, he's lost it. He's got it, he's lost it. I just think that Spieth is like a guy who knows a pinball machine in the back of a dive bar, and he's got 5 out of the 6 top scores on it. He knows just how to bump it, just how to nudge it, just how to hit the right targets. He is born to play Augusta National. His stats on playing the Masters are incredible, and I think he might find it this week. I believe he'll be on the front page on Sunday. Don't quote me on it, but you can count on it if it comes true. If not, please erase this from your memory. And do not email me. Go, oh, nice pick on Spieth, 74-76 trunk slam. My popular fades are Oberg, Rory, and Mr. Fuji, a.k.a. Colin Morikawa. Here's the deal on Oberg. His life is too easy right now. Golf is easy. He's young. He's handsome. He's rich. Doesn't have a wife. Doesn't have kids yet. Life is so easy for him. Last year, finished second because there was no pressure. First Masters. This year, he's everybody's sexy pick. That means pressure. The Swedes are really nice people, but I think they lack resolve. I'm going to pass. Then, on the Morikawa front, he's mentally weak. He bitched at the players about, well, I don't owe you anything in the media, and complained about this relationship between the golf media and the players on tour. And I'm like, you guys are pussies. You guys have it easy compared to most professional athletes. You're making pro athlete money now, thanks to the LIV Tour. But enough of this. Oh, I don't owe you anything. Shut up. Shut up and play golf. So Morikawa is really good. He may be up there on the final leaderboard near the end. Mentally weak, not going to win, soft, I'm passing. And when it comes to Rory, look, I would love to see him win on Sunday. It would be magical. It would be amazing. I'd be happy. There'd be tears flowing. He'd have tears. I might have a tear. Poor guy is so good. He's won so much. Although, fun fact, Zach Johnson and Tiger Woods have won a major since the last time Rory won a major. Does that blow your mind? Did I just blow your mind right there? As Ricky Bobby once said. Anyway, Rory, I'm afraid, is going to be like Phil and the U.S. Open. I believe this is going to be his hill to die on. I believe that he is going to never win the Masters, which, just like Greg Norman, never won the Masters, won a bunch of won every other major, did not win the Masters. Gonna be a bitch. Wait, did Norman win the U.S. Open? Holy shit. Now I got to look this up because I'm starting to doubt myself on this. Norman, Greg Norman majors. He has 2 British and 2 PGA, I believe. But, no, he only won the British twice. Only won the British twice. That's right. Should have won the PGA. Got holed out on by Bob Tway. Dagger. Should have won the U.S. Open, but did not. His closest call in the U.S. Open was Shinnecock, and he melted down there. Anyhow, I hope it's not true about Rory. I would love for him to win. It'd be nice. I got nothing against him, but I'm fading him. It's one of my fades this week. Then we go to what I call my long shots. Long shots are Corey Connors, the Canadian, great iron player, great ball striker, and a sneaky good putter. Jason Day, who is still out there, people, and has won, or has came close at Augusta. Came close at Augusta. I think he could win this thing. He's an 80-1 long shot, even though he's wearing those god-awful Malbon outfits. And Sepp Straka, the very under-the-radar, very good top 10, top 20 player in the world. Sepp Straka. All 80-1. Those are my long shots. Now, on the LIV front, I have some LIV guys I'll say hell yes on, some LIV guys I'll say hell no on. Phil, Rahm, and Bruce Koepka, I'm an in on. Yes. Give me a slice of those three guys. Hell no on LIV is Joaquin Niemann, Joe Dirt, a.k.a. Cam Smith, and Mr. YouTube, Bryson DeChambeau. That's my hell yes, hell no on LIV. The par three went off today. It was lovely. Scott Van Pelt does a masterful job of directing and hosting that event for ESPN. He's got the perfect tone and perspective and golf chops and personality. It was beautifully hosted by him. Marty Smith was great as well with the handheld mic doing interviews. I'm a Marty Smith stan. I don't know where everyone else stands on him. I dig the whole act. You know, the tight-fitting jeans and that down-home, down-south energy that he brings forth. He's really good. I like Marty Smith. But you combine those two guys along with just a beautiful presentation and the kids. You got to love the kids running around, the toddlers. Rory's daughter just tapped a putt that went downhill right into the hole. They went nuts on it. The course itself suffered a lot of tree loss. A lot of tree damage from the storm that came through in the fall, and it was stark. I knew that that part of the course had been hit pretty bad, but I had no idea it was that bad. It looks different. Why, it's still beautiful, of course. It's the Masters, but ouch. It didn't look great. Can't wait for the tournament to start, and we'll have recaps of the event every day on the Capital Golf Gang. Coming up, Fred Minnick. Mr. Bourbon on the state of the flooding disaster that has affected several distilleries in Kentucky, plus the most amazing sporting event he's ever been to in his life. That's next. You're listening to the Zabecast. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. The drive to basketball championships, the grind of raising the cup in hockey. From the court to the ice, today's elite athletes know success depends on having the right team behind them. Same goes for protecting your family's financial future. SelectQuote's licensed agents are your all-star team for finding customized, affordable life insurance that scores big on coverage and savings. SelectQuote has nearly 40 years of experience helping 2 million customers find over $700 billion in coverage. Other brokers offer one-size-fits-all policies that might cost more and cover less. SelectQuote's agents work for you to tailor the right policy in just 15 minutes. Worried about health conditions? SelectQuote partners with carriers covering high blood pressure, diabetes, and even heart disease. No major health issues, get same-day coverage with no medical exam. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/Zabe. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe today to get started. SelectQuote.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. SelectQuote, they shop. You save.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
Our next guest has written multiple books about the Browns, starting with Bourbon Curious and a bunch of others. Look him up. Fred Minnick, M-I-N-N-I-C-K. He hosts the Fred Minnick podcast. He is a world-renowned taster, and he does live shows and events. I was at his event at the Super Bowl. It was wonderful. He's a guy you definitely want to get keyed into if you are at all an enthusiast or even a casual enthusiast of what we call the Brown, bourbon, whiskey, etc. He has only one and one and only mantra, which is any bourbon's great, but vodka sucks. Freddie, how you doing, bud?
Hey, can you hear me?
I got you. Sorry, buddy. Don't need to zoom it up. I was just going to pop you
okay,
right here,
cool.
If that's okay. So anyway, oh my God, Fred, the flooding.
Yeah.
Kentucky River, and it's Frankfort, Kentucky, where Buffalo Traced, one of the largest distilleries in the state, is located, and they suffered severe damages. Not going to be open even for several more days, and they have no idea how bad everything is messed up.
Yeah, you're looking at the highest flood level there. It crested at 48.2 feet, and I just read that there's no, it's not going down. It's still not dropping. But this is the record was like 48.5 in 1978, and if you go on a Buffalo Trace distillery tour, they have little marks, little notches where the flood hit. And the thing is like the difference between now and then is they've amassed so much infrastructure there, and it's just they have put so many resources and so much money into a visitor center. I mean, they had a planned Easter egg hunt there. So like Buffalo Trace has become like a family orientation too. Like they have kids events there. Like it is not just a place that makes whiskey now. It's ingrained in the community, in the state, and bourbon lovers everywhere. Like my family and I go there every year for Christmas to see Santa. So
it's like a
special. Yeah, they do so much stuff like that.
It's like the Disneyland for bourbon, or they've
it
become
really is,
that.
Yeah.
It's a special beautiful place. Campus. We went there, me, Big Mike, Getter, a contingent of the Wisco Bourbon Mafia, as it were.
Yeah.
And I remember just how lovely it was, and the brick walkways, and the gift store, which when I saw it completely flooded in 4 feet of water, I went, God bless America. And so I know how beautiful it is. The biggest question many people have, and they're not the only ones. I'll let you talk about the other distilleries that also got hit by this flooding. But the biggest question everyone has is, well, what about the juice? Is the juice up high?
Yeah, some of it is definitely going to have will have been impacted. You can see it by the pictures. I've not been on site. I've talked to people there, but no one I've talked to has been inside those warehouses. And
how many barrels would be down at flood level on the lower?
Yeah, there'd be, so they would have what we would call ricks. There would probably be like three ricks high all across. I mean, how many barrels? There'd be thousands. There'd be thousands that'd be impacted. The bottling line too, you know, here's the other thing is like the bottling line is going to, it is completely soaked. So that's where everything gets bottled.
Oh, and not just soaked, full of silt and mud and salamanders and crawfish and all that other shit from the river.
So, I mean, the question is, do they have to gut that and start over? You know, I mean, it's everything.
All that machinery and the arms and the, like, to bottle stuff?
And here's the thing, Zabe. Some of that equipment at that distillery, this distillery is old, and there's one area of the plant, and this would have been hit by the flood. There's one area of the plant that has a machine that still operates on a leather belt from like the 1930s.
Get out.
And this leather belt, they have to have it specially manufactured. And it is, and if it doesn't work, it has an impact on their whole dry house situation, which is where the spent grains go. And if that leather belt goes down, the whole distillery drops, you know. So it is a really old facility that has been kept modernized with a lot of like old, it still has a romantic feel from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, but they've been able to keep it modern enough to make great whiskey. And this flood, you know, back in the, there was a flood that came through in 78, and I talked to some old timers about what did they do with the whiskey, and they were just like, we just wiped off the barrels and put it back out there. Well, that ain't going to happen today. There's too many eyeballs in the whiskey world, and there's too many, you know, health concern people out there that don't want to drink anything that's been contaminated with flood water. So I think there's a lot of questions here. What's going to happen to the whiskey? How much whiskey is damaged? What's going to happen to the facilities? And then you have smaller distilleries like Glen's Creek, which is another part of the area. And, you know, they're so small, like I don't know what's going to happen to them. You know, I'm trying to do a tasting with them to try to bring awareness to Glen's Creek, because everyone knows about Buffalo Trace, but these smaller companies that have been impacted.
There's several more distilleries, smaller ones that aren't as prominent, but still, this is someone's life work and their life savings to build these places up.
And I know every time there's a flood that happens, people say, well, why would anybody build on a floodplain? I just want to remind people that these are facilities that were basically built in the 1800s. So distillers long ago chose these sites because of their access to the rivers, because they could float their barrels down to other cities in a much easier thing to do than put it in a wagon back then. And that was the commerce of the time, was getting on a river. And so that's why you have all of these facilities that are by rivers.
Interesting.
And the 1972 change to the Clean Water Act basically mandated a lot of these places to change how they get rid of their coal ash and how they power their facilities. So a lot of these facilities on the rivers basically went away. But with the resurgence of bourbon, you know, Buffalo Trace, that facility never went away. But the resurgence of bourbon, you had a lot of people invest money into spots that are along rivers that were first built in the 1800s, early 1900s, before there were all these environmental regulations. So it's a very complicated situation as to why distilleries are on the rivers. But the rain that we got, it's just is what it is.
So in other words, some of the smaller distillers, they bought into existing facilities that were still there because they were kind of grandfathered as the laws changed.
They wouldn't have been grandfathered. They would have had to change their so the Glen's Creek facility, which is operating at the former Old Crow distillery, Old Crow used to dump its ash in the river, you know, and they used to dump their spent mash and stuff like that into the river prior to the Clean Water Act. And they would eventually, you know, shut down. They would stop, you know, making whiskey there. And the guy who bought Glen's Creek, you know, he doesn't do that, obviously, and he's small scale, but he still tells the story of Old Crow, and he makes great whiskey. You know, he does a great job there.
He then buy that facility? Was there still some assets there worth having despite the risk
absolutely.
Of it being on the river?
Yeah, those warehouses are kind of like iconic for aging whiskey. And it's also, you know, this guy, his name is David Meyer. He's kind of a history buff and a lover of American whiskey. And I think it's everyone's, you know, a lot of people, it's their dream to own a bar and run a bar in their retirement. You know, some people it's to get a distillery.
If you're richer, like for the richer people, their goal is to own a distillery. That's the next level up, right?
It used to be winery. Now it's a distillery.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, my God. Well, I hope they can recover as nimbly as possible And we'll keep an eye on the situation going forward. But let us know if there's any other news. Or just text me any news on here's what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll bring up any awareness I can, any fundraisers I can. But there's a couple brands to, if you want to support some smaller brands at home that have been impacted, look for something from Glens Creek, MB Roland. Peerless was a little bit impacted, but they got the flood wall up in time to save themselves. And of course, Buffalo Trace, you know, even though they do quite well, I'm sure that your bottle acquisition would go a long way for them right now.
Is it the biggest bourbon disaster since the Heaven Hill fire?
I'd say yes. I'd say it probably is the biggest disaster since the Heaven Hill fire.
What Although year was that fire?
That was 1996.
And it took out two rick houses plus?
And an entire distillery. Oof. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I here's the sad thing is, like, it remains to be seen, you know? And there's some political stuff in this, and, like, everyone's talking about the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. Buffalo Trace is not a part of the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, you know? So they've been, they kind of operate independently from, like, this union of distillers that help one another. Now, the entire distilling community is going to step up and support Buffalo Trace if they need production help. I assure you that. But I think this one is going to be, this one's not as simple. Not that a fire is ever simple, but, you know.
Well, I think it is more simple because you bulldoze what's left and start over. This is going to involve, okay, what can be salvaged? How much hosing down of existing production lines will get the trick done? How compromised is the machinery? Are there contaminants from the river in this flooding? Battery acid, pollutants, chemicals, fertilizer, like who knows, right?
And then this is the side that I don't know if we would see under this administration, but in past administrations, there'd be the concern of like fines coming from the federal government that they didn't have a wall up or they had that was, you know, there have been distillers who have been fined a lot for things
for a 100-year flood.
Yeah, for like, I mean, it happens. Like, you should have had the whiskey.
Should have had this. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot, and there probably will be a new law that comes out that they can't have whiskey on the first floor anymore. So,
all right, on a positive note, you got to see an all-time sporting event of a niche sport that many people don't know about or care about per se, but you've been a big fan of, even though you did not compete, you told me, in this particular sport. You were at the Collegiate Wrestling Championships in Philadelphia a month ago, in which the president was there, and we witnessed an absolute earthquake of an upset as Taylor or Wyatt Hendrickson took out the undefeated and seemingly invincible opponent, Gable Stevenson.
Yeah,
and
Gable
you
Stevenson.
Were there.
Yeah, I was there. I was in tears in the stands. Wyatt Hendrickson was an Oklahoma State heavyweight. He's a transfer from Air Force Academy.
And I'm an Oklahoma State alum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a Cowboy. And I did wrestle, just not in college.
Oh, okay.
And
sorry.
It was... it was, you know, I'm friends with Wyatt too, and so I talked to him like the night before, and it just Gable Stevenson was like we were talking about him as the greatest wrestler of all time, you know,
better than Chael Sonnen, which is the only other wrestler I know.
Definitely better than Kale. Kale Sanderson did not. He was a great collegiate wrestler. But he was not a great freestyle wrestler, which is what they do in the Olympics. Gable Stevenson had already won an Olympic gold medal. And so it was here. And he had tried to break away from wrestling and do the WWE. He tried out for the Buffalo Bills. And then he came back for wrestling this year. And he was just he was like a bear on people. I mean, he was like slapping down all Americans like they were nobodies. And so all year, we're like, this guy is going to go undefeated. He's going to win the Hodge, which is the Heisman equivalent in wrestling. And Gable Stevenson is introduced first, and he's standing on the map, and here comes Wyatt Hendrickson, a second lieutenant in the United States Air Force. He's got a flag draped around him. There are bagpipes going, and Wyatt runs on the mat. He's circling around. He has everyone screaming for him. He's got the president looking at him, which the president, Wyatt and the president have a relationship from a past NCAAs. And Gable's like, this guy's still in my thunder. And he goes up to him and says, only Olympic champs get to drape the flag around him. And so Wyatt looks at him and he's like, all right, it's on. And you are looking at, They have a couple scrambles in the first period, and you were like, wow, Wyatt isn't going to get bonus. That was my first thought, is like, he's not going to get bonus. He's just going to have a simple decision. He's going to keep in tight. Well, come to the third period, the score is 3-2, and Gable looks
three
gassed.
To two like in whose favor?
Gable has, at this point, he had earned a takedown, but Wyatt had gotten two escapes. So that's 1 point per escape. And the new takedown rules is that they're 3 points now. And so they're in neutral position, which is standing. And Wyatt has a couple fake shots, and he gets Gable to stumble a little bit. And he reaches in and he gets what we call a kind of like a high crotch, which is where you have the upper thigh.
Okay.
And Gable's beginning to sprawl. There's like 20 seconds left. He's beginning to sprawl, and you can just see there is something powering Wyatt. There is no person I have ever seen be able to withstand the weight of Gable, which is 265 pounds and pure muscle, by the way. And he's beginning to pull that leg out, and Wyatt with one arm pulls it back in, starts circling him around, switches it from a high crotch to a double leg, and gets the takedown with 20 seconds left. Now, here's the thing. He's winning at this point.
Five to three, right? Three points for a takedown.
It was 4-2. It was 4-2 in the third period. He's winning at this point 5-4, and Gable's like, he's flat and he's like, oh shit, I just got taken down. But he starts to get up, and we're all like, he's going to get out. I don't know how he did it, but he managed to ride him for the entire 20 seconds, to include knocking him back down. And Zabe.
Wow.
I was in tears. The entire coaching staff was up, screaming. And I know all those guys, so it was really cool to see, the athletic trainer, holding the flag, screaming, going crazy. And then you see the pictures of his dad, and that's where I lose it. You see the pictures of his dad, and he's like, oh, my God, my boy just became a gym.
So Hendrickson is a U.S. Air Force officer?
Yeah, so he was a part of the Air Force Academy, and he transferred to Oklahoma State under that rule that I think Trump was the one who put it through in his first administration, where athletes from the academies could go on to compete. He got to transfer on that, and he's able to serve at the at Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma. Now, people are saying that this is the greatest upset, or one of the greatest upsets in wrestling, and I think we need to slow it up a little bit, because Wyatt he's a world champion in the under 23 bracket from a couple of years ago.
He's no chump.
Yeah. So he's got a crack at the Olympics later on. So I think in 20 years we might look at this match quite a bit differently. And
that's incredible stuff. Incredible stuff.
Incredible.
And you were there, which is awesome. And you had no idea this was going
to
happen.
I got to hang out with him at a bar, and he just looks at me and he's like, Fred, you didn't bring me any bourbon. I'm like, oh man, I let you down, Wyatt.
They think that you must travel with a holster belt full of bourbon.
It's a pretty good assumption.
Exactly. It's not as big of an upset as Rulon Gardner in the Olympics taking down Alexander Karelin, the Russian bear.
Yeah, that was a big
Greco-Roman,
one.
Greco-Roman, which slightly different discipline than what you were watching, right?
The closest one in collegiate wrestling would be Larry Owing from Washington beating Dan Gable, after whom Gable Stevenson was named.
Yeah. See, you wanted to talk wrestling with me. You've been saying, Zabe, I got to get on the podcast. We got to talk wrestling. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking to myself, oh, shit. I don't think anyone's going to really care about this. Where's an angle on this? Where's the hook? And then I see that you were at that event and that upset happened. And I go, boom, now we've
got our excuse.
That's all it takes. Well, that's awesome, man. Well, look, great to hear the account of it, and we'll be thinking of the folks down there in Kentucky, and we'll make sure to buy some bourbon from the affected distilleries. Hopefully we get them back up on their feet, because Lord knows, the Lord cries just a little bit every time the brown is lost.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear your voice, Abe.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Cheers.
Let's end on this. Oh my, what a savory, spicy two-piece breath you have, my love. KFC has come out with chicken-flavored toothpaste. And of course, it's selling out. Dateline, New York. Fried chicken isn't just a food anymore, it's also a toothpaste. KFC recently introduced a fried chicken flavor of the toothpaste. And they're inspired, they say, the flavors, by all of KFC's 11 herbs and spices. Like biting into a hot, juicy piece of KFC original recipe, this toothpaste is irresistible, coating your teeth in flavor before leaving your mouth feeling fresh and clean. Said KFC's branding legendary... said KFC's marketing manager, Coben Jones, "We love pushing boundaries, and what better way to do that than by bringing KFC's legendary flavors into an everyday essential?" Oh, honey, you taste wonderful. What is that? That's a spicy four-piece. What are you talking about? Let's go. Take that bra off and let's go. That's enough from me today. Thank you so much for listening. Our schedule's all jacked up. I'm due to have Scott and Solly for the Friday edition, which will come your way soon enough. I've got the Capital Golf Gang to do with the Masters post-wrap recaps. I'm just getting my clothes washed from vacation, so just bear with me here as I get these episodes out off schedule this week, and we'll get our stride before the week is out. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, first day of the Masters, and we will see you next time. Into the future. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today. Oh.